Hey there, folks. We all have our favorite films, and some of them are still in production, and some of them are no longer in production. So we are often forced to scramble to find a replacement or modify an existing stock, either through changing the exposure or changing how we develop it. But tonight is the night of the living film.
Welcome to the Classic Camera Revival, coming to you from the Greater Toronto Hamilton region of Ontario, Canada. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you most likely will by the end of the episode.
Welcome back to the Classic Camera Revival. And as long as Fujifilm is a company, we are going to be facing a ton of cancellation of film stocks, but we are not going to let that stop us because even though, as film photographers, we often live in the past, we like to continue to expand and explore this hobby well into the future. So today we are going to be talking about the film stocks that we love and that have since been discontinued and our ongoing struggle to have either found a replacement or are still looking for that sweet spot. So we are going to start tonight with Bill.
Thank you, Alex. And you'd think a black and white guy would be talking about color film, but Fujifilm. Yeah, the funny thing is, they may have started production on some film stocks for the Japanese market only, but in small scales. So that's a topic for another discussion. But I'm going to talk about it's almost like two families of films, and I've long since replaced them with their equivalents from Kodak. And I'm talking like the Fuji Pro 160 and 400H, and of course my personal favorite, Riello 100. Now Fujifilm Riello 100 was unofficially part of the Superia family, although it did not have the Superia branding on the box. It's sort of like what Kodak Ektar became. So again, think of Kodak Ektar, but with a Fujifilm color palette.
Ooh.
But I sort of found it easier to scan, and it was a little you could sort of abuse it a little bit more. And I was really sad when I think at the last roll of Riello 100 I shot was 120 through a rolly cord on Highway 35 somewhere south of Dwight 10 years ago. And it's like one of those. If it's going to go out with a bang, no point just sitting on it for a decade only to find out, yeah, it looks like crap. Like I was gifted some just expired Pro 400H a year ago, and it did not age well. And that's the other thing. Sometimes it just, if you're going to you hear something that's being discontinued, don't hoard it for a rainy day. Just shoot it till it's gone. So in the end, once Riello was gone, I sort of turned around and embraced Ektar 100, and I like what Ektar 100 a lot. And again, looking at Fuji's like professional emulsions, quote unquote, because the Riello was sort of like Ektar 100, the semi-pro emulsion, but it was kind of out there. Pro 160H, 160 and 400, and they got replaced. If you go to Kodak, it's like, well, it's Portra, and you got Portra 160, Portra 400. So if we're just talking like a medium speed color negative C41 process film, don't ignore Portra 160. Like I've used it on some landscape photography, and I almost liked it more than Ektar because the punchiness was sort of restrained. You could sort of adjust that in Lightroom if you want to at the other end. Whereas Ektar, you're kind of at the mercy of the emulsion. And then you're kind of trying to dial it back a wee bit. And again, also with other color emulsions coming out, you've got the Vision 3 stocks you can play with ECN2 processing becoming more and more prevalent with some commercial labs in major cities. Like that's another option you can play with as well. And again, you can sort of play with it to your heart's content in post-processing mode because that's what it was designed for. Whereas, Riello, it's funny, Riello, I miss that film. And it lives on as sort of a, I should say, a color profile in the Fuji X series of crop sensor mirrorless cameras.
Yeah, Riella was something special. I shot a handful of roles,
I saw
and
your work on,
I.
I looked up your blog as sort of like just to reacquaint myself, and I said, yeah, that's what I got out of it as well. And
Yeah, it had almost a warm green tone to them. Like the greens really, really punched above their weight, kind of like how Ekdahl does with the reds.
yeah, and
Yeah.
that's always been the case, in my opinion, anyway, between Fuji and Kodak. Like anytime you were after that cooler color palette, it was Fuji all the way for me, in particular Riala. Although I really liked it, like I remember taking some pictures with Riala that had a fire hydrant in front of some greenery, and just the difference between the red and the green, like just the vibrancy of the how it rendered. I was That's what made me fall in love with Riala as well. So I just the color rendering is just spot on for me, from especially in the cooler palette.
One can dream it may one day reappear.
You never know.
Exactly.
Because yeah, Fuji does have still have a 100 speed film kicking around, I think, for the Japanese market, don't they?
They did up until 2022, and then they sort of shut everything down because of the pandemic. I don't know if they've restarted production on it or not.
Are they still
It's
making
what
Superior, which is
they
200,
have
right?
restarted that, but right now it is only for the Japanese market.
You're buying, we're buying the rebadged Ultra Max here
Yeah.
in the West, quote unquote, which basically should be just saying rest of planet Earth,
Yeah.
Yeah.
which is a shame. But again, hey, that's what we get to play with, unless
Yeah,
you
they
got
have a
some
Fuji
friends in
Color
Japan.
100 that's Japanese. It's at Freestyle, but it's low stock.
Oh,
But I honestly don't think it's the same as Riala.
no, probably not even close. They did make an industrial grade C41 film. I never shot with that, but then that disappeared just
Yeah.
before the pandemic.
Yeah, again, it's one of those where if you know where to look in Japan, you can find it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and
Like
sadly, yeah.
both Matt Murray from Matt Loves Cameras and Yvonne Hansen recently got back from Japan, and both of them did some videos about, the stores in Japan and just the amount of film that Fuji actually is still producing, but probably on a limited basis for the Japanese market only.
Yeah, I saw that Yvonne Hansen YouTube video, and she was just giddy at the Fuji emulsions that you're not going to find in Vancouver. You're definitely not going to find in Toronto or anywhere else in North America or Europe or that matter. And it's just like, yeah, you almost have to be a tourist, load up on it, and somehow get it back to home via post or FedEx or what have you.
Yeah, actually, you need multiple tourists because they do limit you.
Well, I think you go to different stores and you just sort of load up.
Yeah, even have to go to different stores from different franchises.
Oh wow, they're
Oh,
that
yeah.
diligent.
Yep.
Oh, pity.
That's why you just send it another person.
Exactly. There you
Oh,
go. Yeah, so
man.
color, it's sort of like right now, I guess in the West, it's the Eastman Kodak show, with Alaris providing the marketing support and all the consumer for all the quote unquote consumer and consumer professional emulsions, for lack of a better term, as opposed to Eastman with the industrial applications like AeroColor 4 and of course motion picture stock.
But yeah, no, motion picture stock, as you said, is a great alternative for color stock, especially
I know.
if you
Oh yeah.
just go straight Vision 3. Removing Remjet is easy these days, even for a home developer.
Oh yeah, the recipe's out for that. But then if you're lucky to have a lab that can do it, even
Exactly.
better, because you
Right.
can outsource the pain, which I do.
Always a good thing to do.
Exactly.
So, James, what about you?
Well, my favorite film is still Akros, but they kind of made relaunched Akros, I guess, in the ver in what we know as Akros 2. So I'm not going to really talk about that today. I'm going to talk about one of my sort of oldie but goodies. And if you're an old fart like the three of us here, you are probably familiar or will have shot it before its expiry, or before it was discontinued in 2011. So it had a pretty good run, went from 1938 to 2011. And of course, that is the no longer available Kodak Plus X Pan. Not too many 125 ISO films out there anymore, but Plus X was one of the good ones. It was definitely one of my favorites. Very sharp, fine-grained, sort of low to medium contrast film. So for a person that likes to shoot portraits and people and that sort of thing, it kind of, you know, sort of fits very, very well into those parameters. And that's why I liked it really, really a lot. And that's why I probably like Across 100 a lot too. Very similar characteristics between those two films. Of course, Plus X being a cubic grain film, and then Across, and of course Delta 100 and T-Max and all of those films are all tabular grain films. So a little bit sharper, a little bit more contrasty, but I really like the balance that they had with Plus X. And there was for a long time, I guess there was no real sort of replacement that came out for it. But there was an next best thing, also another 125 ISO film that is quite common and has been available since the earth cooled. And that, of course, is Ilford. Well, I shouldn't say before the earth cooled, because before there was FP4, there was FP3. But what I'm talking about is Ilford FP4 Plus 125 ASA/ISO, whatever, whichever way you want to go. Not as sharp as the predecessor or the replacement that you would find with Plus X. Similar contrast levels, but also nevertheless a very sharp film, very well balanced contrast film. Interesting when you look at the data sheets of these two films, they're kind of opposite to each other. So what you find with FP4, well, I should say overall, Plus X is a much more spectrally sensitive film compared to FP4. And that's probably why its sharpness and sort of contrastiness was a little bit more, a little sort of better or more pleasing. Better is a very crappy way to describe it, but a little bit more pleasing to the viewer. But what I did find interesting is that the spectral sensitivity are kind of opposite on the end. So with Plus X, it's a little bit more, it's actually considerably more sensitive at the shorter wavelength. So it's a little bit more sensitive in the 300 to 400. So in your reds, your warmer colors, it's a lot more sensitive. And then FP4, although overall not as sensitive as Plus X, it's a little bit more sensitive in the blues. Which I found kind of interesting. And I'm going to actually have to run some tests now when we get some brighter weather around here, which hopefully is weeks or days away as opposed to months. I want to actually test that out and see how it looks on some contrasty blue skies with some white clouds and see how the two actually perform in that particular scenario. FP4 for me is, you know, like if I'm just going out shooting, I don't have a particular purpose. I don't want to burn through my hoard, my reserves of Across. FP4, you know what, if you're just starting out in film photography or just trying to, you know, figure out film and you're looking for that sort of low to medium speed, good, great, all around film, FP4 is really is a really great starting point. And what I would recommend with FP4 to get it to as similar output as you would get with Plus X is to forget about all the Ilford developers, forget about all the Kodak developers, and use my little friend here, which is 510 Pyro. Yes. 7 minutes at box, and you would be, that looks just like Plus X. So 510 Pyro, staining developer, definitely something to try out with your FP4. You know, it will get you Very, very close. If you're a Plus X fan, if you shot unexpired Plus X before and you really like that lower contrast, that sharp image sharpness, you'll get that with FP4 and 510 pyro for 7 minutes, you know, standard agitation pattern, etc. But definitely give it a try. And let me know, let us know what you think. Write some comments and let us know.
Yeah. The FP4 is definitely my desert island film. Like, if I am stranded on a desert island, I want FP4. Yeah. Because you can overexpose it, you can underexpose it, and you dip it in the right developer, and it will just give you magic.
Yeah, you can push it, you can pull it, you can shoot it at 500, two stops.
I took a roll of expired FP4 Plus. I think it expired in, like, 97, and I bought it at, like, an antique stall at St. Jacob's Market, like $5 rolls of film, and I underexposed it by a stop, so I put it at 250 and then developed it in Diafine, and the thing looked fresh.
FP4 again, like you, Alex, it's one of my favorite films, even though I haven't shot with it a lot lately. I got a bulk roll of it ready to go, you know, for the warmer months. And it's, again, as you pointed out, you can abuse it like toffee. You can push, pull it, shove it sideways. And if you've got the recipe for development with your favorite developers, you can pull magic out of it. Because, like, FP4, again, as everyone pointed out, it's the other man standing the day after the music died, when Plus X was discontinued unceremoniously. And again, Kodak thought, hey, man, here's 2X100 for you to try. And it's like, not everyone's a tubular grain film fan. I prefer keep it grain films because they're kind of, you know, I'm after a specific
look,
and T grain films are kind of a little too perfect.
They're a little too clean.
A little too clean, but you know, before you mention your comment, Alex, and I'm going to like your comment, so I'm not going to say anything, but the way I best describe FP4, it's like your safety school. You know, we got to give it a little bit more respect, you know, got to shoot it more. I mean, you know, we get very, as people in the film community, we get very excited and very enamored with new stuff that comes out, which we should, but we cannot forget good old faithful. Get out there and shoot some FP4. Give Ilford some business, because we all know they deserve it.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, speaking of new things, Ferrania released their latest film stock, P33. And one of the things that I noticed, and another film photographer noticed, is that it has a very similar rendering contrast and grain structure to Plus X. Now, this is based on the original Ferrania's P33 mid-century Italian cinefilm, rated at ASA 160, so only about a third of the stop faster than Plus X. But you could probably hold the two side by side and see very, very little difference between the two. So
I want to try Ferrania P33, but I'm waiting for more recipes to show up as more people experiment.
Yeah, I want a 510 pyro recipe for it. I think it would do a really good job with that film.
Well, my big challenge is I'm kind of restricted with what developers I'm using at the moment, because I'm living in a staged house at the time of this recording. And so really, I'm just using Ilfatech HC, FX39, and I got a bottle of Roly Super Grain. So those are the three developers I get to play with.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, I'm gonna be in New York in a few weeks, so I will stop by B&H, and who knows, maybe you guys will get some early Christmas stocking stuffers.
Ooh.
I will see about picking up a few rolls of P33, since nice. I am now officially intrigued, sir.
There we are.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be quite obvious here. I love Panatomic X.
Gee.
Oh, I'm curious to hear your opinion on this, because I have my own opinion on what I And what I would view as the replacement, but go for I'm very interested.
Panatomic X is an interesting film because it is quite polarizing. Those who love it, love it, and those who don't, don't. And it mostly has to do with its low contrast. And a lot of people don't like that it's just a very low contrast film. And it doesn't always work in every situation. Other people are quick to point out, well, Kodak doesn't know what they're doing because the HC-110 dilution B times is 4.5 minutes and you can't develop your film shorter than 5 minutes where you get inconsistent. Well, you know what? Kodak made the film. And if they say 4.5 minutes, then they're probably right.
Well, Kodak did goof the processing time for Tri-X with HC-110B.
I developed most of my early Tri-X dilution B for 4.5 minutes, and I loved the results.
Yeah, I never got any good results with that. I wound up doing 6 minutes, 30 seconds. It looks pretty to me, but then again, that's just me. And
it just goes to show that personal taste is everything when it comes to your film photography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, my choice for replacing Panatomic X has always been T-Max 100 that I rate at 32. And then I take the 100 speed times and I reduce it by 15%. So a full stop and then half a stop. And I really like the results, especially when you're looking at HC-110 dilution B. But try T-Max 100 is expensive these days. And I haven't really gotten off my duff because we haven't had nice enough weather to try some other films to potentially be the replacement. So one of the early obvious choices was the original X Film 80. It did a really good job when you rated it at 32, and it looked an awful lot like Panatomic X. You got that very low contrast, a lot of grays, but you still got that really nice white and dark points in there. And I would often go with a little bit of a stronger developer. So I'd use like a Rodinal 1:25 or an HC-110 dilution B. I'm kind of, but that particular film stock is gone. And I know that the new version of X-Film 82 is really just rebadged from a Pan 100 that you overexposed by a third of the stop at 80. I think that could be a good choice also if you could overexpose it all the way to 32 and then pull it in the development. So I was wondering what your guys' opinions would be. What other film stock should I give a go with?
Foampan 100 is a very classic looking medium speed film.
Exactly.
I think it's probably the best candidate for what you want to try. Haven't done it myself because generally I just, you know, use whatever's suggested and get amazing results and a story. But again, if you're at to replicate Panatomic X, I have shot the original run of
X film.
The X80 film, and I still have a bunch of rolls of that kicking around. You know, I do love the look that it gave.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the backing paper is utter shite, but, you know, a 5-minute pre-soak kind of solves a lot of problems.
Did we ever figure out what the original one was? Was it Orwo?
I have no idea, but that backing paper looked like it came from the Shanghai factory. It's it's one of those, it was a group effort, so who knows? Yeah. Maybe the emulsion did come from Orwo and it was finished by Shanghai.
Who knows?
We don't know.
The original Atomic?
Yeah.
Or was it just the whatever was left from the new 55 Atomic X?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Some test rolls. Who knows? Like some weird early remnants of N74. Who knows? Even though that's a 400 speed film, but
film speed is a human construct.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. So basically, you can sort of fudge around with the developing times. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a 400 speed. We can make it a 100 speed film.
Yeah.
You just process it this way.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it might have been N74.
Yeah, I think their faster one, their 320 was N74. No, it was double X.
No, that original was double X. The original 320 was double X.
Double X.
And
you know, I think their new one is N74.
Okay.
Interesting. But to your question, my substitute for Panatomic X is Pan F50.
Okay. That's another one that I was thinking too.
Yeah. And now, and I haven't tried it yet, Pan F50 has got to take a little swim into this stuff, and I will see if that...
It loves 510 pyro.
Okay, good to know.
I've done a couple rolls, including an expired roll, so...
To me, Pan F is, like, chemically speaking, emulsion speaking, it's probably the closest to Panatomic X.
Mm-hmm.
Like logically speaking, you would think that it would be. I haven't really done a direct comparison of the two films because I have some old expired Panatomic X that I probably just need to get off my ass and just shoot, and not, you know, wait for, I don't know, Mercury to be in retrograde or whatever, you know.
Any day you get to shoot film is a special day.
Yeah. But I really do like Pan F. I shoot it actually probably more often than a lot of people shoot Pan F, because I think Pan F's another one of those dichotomy kind of films, right? Like, you're either on one side of it or you're not, love hate sort of thing. I really like Pan F. I like smoother films. Like, I like smoother contrasty films. Mm-hmm. You know, not as high accutance type films. I do like sharp films, but I don't like that sort of grungy sharpness that, you know, you're sort of, you get that, good Lord, you know, the, what's the, why, I don't know. I'm obviously getting old. The developer, the old developer that was been here since the earth cooled.
Rodinal,
you know, that Rodinal feel. Yep. I'm not a huge fan of the Rodinal sharpness. I like, you know, smoother transition. I like sharpness that, the best way I describe it, that comes out of tonality changes rather than shadow changes, I guess. I don't know, which is sort of saying the same thing, but, well, it is saying the same thing, actually, but yeah, it's just the way my mind. I don't know. But yeah, Pan F, I've tried your T-Max trick. I think it works. Yeah, I can't think of anything that is that sort of low contrast other than Pan F.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Pan F also looks really good in D19. So, and also, if you can get your hands on it, and I think Downtown Camera still has a few boxes of Tetanol Neofin Blue.
Oh, okay.
Is Tetanol still a thing, or are they kind of...
I don't know. It's weird, because they weren't a thing, and then they were, and now they're not?
So I thought they went through a bit, sort of the German equivalency of Chapter 11, reorganized, came back out, go better than the other, just market themselves better as a film chemistry company, and then...
I hope someone at least is able to pick up some of their IP.
Well, yeah. I have a feeling Adox is hoovering up IP like mad.
Oh yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of Adox, the closest other one that I can think of that just popped into my head would be this guy right here.
Yep. CHS 102.
That would be another good choice. I love that film. Yeah. CHS 102 in FX 39 at 1:19.
Or 510 pyro.
Yeah.
Don't have 510 pyro at the moment.
You can need to get a bottle of that, Bill.
Have you tried it, Bill? Yeah.
I have not tried it yet.
Oh, you got it.
One of those. It's one of those sort of situations. It's like all my chemistry is in one plastic tub. And when I'm not using it, it's all packed up, especially if a showing is coming. So it's like literally,
you set up my workstation. You can get about 100 rolls out of this much. So.
Ooh, okay. And where does that ship from?
Freestyle.
Freestyle.
B&H. Does Argentix carry it?
No. I haven't ordered from Argentix in a while.
What I have found interesting is that Sinstill has taken on North American distribution for Adox.
Which is great news.
But it's weird because they don't list the Aidox CHS 102 and 35 millimeter, just 120.
Give it time.
I know. I'm just being Mr. Fuss Budget on that because it's like the vast majority of my 120 cameras are in storage right now.
So speaking of developers, one interesting thing I found, I ordered the last couple of bottles of Compard RO9 Spezial or EGFA Studio Null off of Argentix. And I looked at the bottle and it's made by Bellini. It's Bellini Hydrofin.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wow.
So that's really cool. It's like, okay, well, you know what? It just goes to show because I tried a couple of Hydrofin times recently, like with a double X, and they worked. So,
Yeah, it's funny because a company like Bellini has next to no exposure outside of most of the EU.
Mm-hmm. Like I've only used their EcoPro developer.
Mm. Yeah, and that's it can be a little frustrating because I think Barani had a developing time for one of a Bellini developer, and it's like
EcoPro. It's Liquid Xtol.
Okay.
So just either Adox XT3 or Xtol or Legacy Pro EcoPro developer.
Okay, I gotta stay away from powder developers at the moment due to living in a staged house. Which has sort of been the story of my life. Developer-wise, I love FX39.
Okay, so lightning round, folks. If you could bring back one film stock and have full support for it on the developing side of things, what would it be, James?
Ooh. Kodak HIE.
Nice. True. Black and white or color?
The black and white stuff.
Nice. Bill?
I would say, and again, I'm putting my black and white hat on, and I'm just going to say Plus X.
Nice.
APX
25.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Although the RPX 25 is pretty good. And there's another one that would fit into the category for a Panatomic X substitute.
Mm-hmm. Might be a little bit too red sensitive, though.
True. Yes.
Right? Very
true.
Because it is just Avifaut 80.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd want to really like shoot it in low contrast situations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very red sensitive. So
I wound up with a bulk roll of that RPX 25 sitting in the fridge waiting for an opportunity to use it properly. So yeah, and an available bulk loader because again, nice. Most of my bulk loaders are packed away. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and, definitely. B&H does have P33.
Oh, even better.
All right, cool. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Well, you're heading down there. You wanted to know.
Well, hey, at least the trip will not be in vain.
Well, is it really any in vain going to B&H, even if you're just looking around?
Not really. Well, I mean, your pocketbook is a little bit lighter afterwards, but you know.
It's never good when you're on a 73-cent dollar.
Oof, and tell me.
Yeah, I was last down when the dollar was at par and it was like Christmas Day. You know, it's just like I think I went up to the Strand bookstore. I said, yeah, just leave the shipping container on 12. I'll clear at the photography section. But yeah, it is what it is. So yeah, I'd love to try P33. I'm just hoping there are more recipes out as time goes on.
Well, just take a bit of time and the D76 times are fairly common, so
okay, that's good.
Right, the two stock times. I'm not sure why they have a 10-minute time and an 8-minute time listed for stock. So I think it has to do with how dense you want your negatives.
And what's the temperature of the solution?
20.
Both occasions?
Yep.
Odd. Very odd. And, you know, it's kind of like dealing with Willy Wonka's chocolate factory in some regards. It's sort of like, you like some two-way saying, hey, can we talk to some of the product people and see if we can sort of figure out, we can dial in like the why behind it. And it's like, nope, these are the times. Have a nice day.
Oh, wait, no, now they only have one. They only have 10 minutes listed for the stock and 11 minutes for one-to-one.
Hmm.
And then Rodinal 1 to 25 and 1 to 100 and then Bellini Eco 1:1.
Interesting. It's just those developers only.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, folks, I think that wraps it up for this episode. A little bit shorter, but really great episode. So until next time, my name's Alex Lokes. Any day you get to shoot, go out and shoot film is that special day. So don't hoard your stuff. Go out and shoot it, because if you don't, you might lose that chance.
Are you talking to me? Don't hoard your stuff.
Oh, that shipping container full of Acros in the backyard. I
get off my lazy butt. But the weather's getting better. And as Alex said, it does not have to be an oldie to be a goodie. If good, old, new, somewhere in between, just put it in your camera and just expose some light to it. Get out there and shoot.
This is Bill Smith. Don't be afraid to use the stalwarts. And yeah, like everyone else said, load that camera up and shoot some film.